Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. I'm Imani Mohammed and reporting from the 71st Venice International Film Festival. I'm joined today by Laurent Quintet, who's the co-writer director of Retour à Ithaca. I'm sure he's going to correct me. Return to Ithaca. Hi, Laurent, how are you?
Quite happy to be here. You know, it will be the premiere tonight, so I'm very, very excited too.
It's always exciting. Now, of course, your films are always selected for big festivals. You're a Cannes Palme d'Or winner. You've won here at Venice before. What's it like to be back at Venice? I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but do you ever get bored of just having your films selected? And, you know, do you ever lose the thrill?
Of course not. It's always very, very important for me to be in festival because first is the best way to test your film. You know, it's the first time the public can share what you have been doing for years, and there is a sort of concentration of emotion, of expectation from my part, from the part of all the crew which is here.
And oh, wonderful! So everyone's here as a
not everyone.
A few of you are here, getting behind the film, and it must be a really nice experience to share it with what I would call a real audience. It's not just critics, you know. You've got the public there
That's what I like in this festival too. It's because it's very open on real public, which is not always the case in some festival like Cannes, for example, is more and more reserved to professional audience.
Absolutely. In terms of the story, what inspired you to tell this story? Because, of course, it's in Spanish, and I believe that you learned Spanish off by heart. That's an incredible thing to do. That's an incredible commitment.
Right. I went many times to Cuba, and anytime I go there, I have the feeling that I can understand a little bit more, but I can also feel how much things stay a sort of mystery for me. There is an enigma in the country because, they lived such a different history.
Yeah.
And they also represent a lot of ideal for a lot of people from left side who could at one moment believe that something new would happen there.
Mm.
And this mythology, the left mythology, is of course contradicted by the reality itself. And going there is for me also a way to confront this idealistic image I could add long ago from this experience to the real life of people who really live this story. And my purpose by making the film was really to give them the opportunity to tell their own story.
Yeah.
I didn't go there just to say, that's my point of view on your history.
Yeah.
I just listened to what they had to say. I worked with a very famous Cuban writer, Leonardo Padura,
yes,
who brought the story. My job was to make it more
cinematic.
But I really wanted to give him and to the actors too, that I really listened to, the opportunity to tell me this story.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there was a lot of improvisation, I guess, from the part. I mean,
not that much. We made some improvisation at the very beginning of the writing
to create chemistry.
First to imagine the characters. It was important for me to have a real person to put on my mind, you know. And during the shooting, they were allowed to adapt the dialogues to their own way of speaking, of course.
Right.
But Padura is someone who writes dialogues very well. All his books takes place in Cuba, in very popular areas, and he knows exactly how Cubans speaks, how they, even the rhythm of their phrase, and I think, right, actors had this opportunity, but they didn't even use it that much.
Right. I mean, the beauty of it for me is that I didn't really know what to expect going into the film. And what happens is, because of the way it's shot, so you use this two-camera technique, which you've used in the class, and I guess, to capture a more naturalistic feel to the conversation, to the reactions to and from, because that's what friends do, that you don't stop and wait for someone. Yeah. You overlap and you talk over each other, and it's a real conversation, and that's what makes you feel that you're watching something real. It really draws you in. And
I'm very happy you had this feeling, because
absolutely.
That was what I expected. Right, the film is sort of theatrical shape, but it was important for me because I think it's the only way to really pay attention to what they say. Mm. I really wanted to be focused on the story, on them, on the emotion they have in front of the camera, and I didn't want to. You know, I could have made a film that would take place in different locations on 3 weeks or a thing like that. And I thought that what they have to say is more important than anything else.
Right.
And so I assumed totally the very theatrical aspect of the film. But I tried to contradict the theatrical aspect by this very, very alive way of saying things. They speak in a very, very casual language.
Yeah.
You never have the feeling that all this has been written.
No, I totally agree. Actually, I mean, I don't know if anyone else will say this to you. I'm sure they will. But I felt like I was part of the conversation, and the reason for that is because I didn't feel that the camera and the action in the background or the location was distracting me from the conversation. So I felt drawn in, and I felt like I was one of their friends, except I can't speak Spanish.
Thank you very much the best thing you could say about the film.
Well, it's absolutely true, and you know, it was a pleasure to watch because it reminds me of how I am with my friends. Okay, I'm not in the same age range as these guys, but what's beautiful about it is, you know, you talk and you laugh and then you get angry, you feel sad, because when you know people so well, you feel you can be whoever you want to be. One of the characters actually says he has everything he wants. The character that has left and has come back from exile after 16 years, he says, you know, I feel lonely. And the thing about being away from the people that really know you is that you cannot, there's always a barrier there. You cannot feel free to express yourself in whichever way you wish without everyone being offended or judging you. And it was interesting because the arc of the characters, it's not just about having fun. And there's a nice link with the music, which whenever you play a song, it always reminds you of something. So you have mamas and papas in the film. Yeah. You know, that reminds me of my university days. So I was like, oh, the leaves are brown, you know. So that's what's beautiful about it, because it draws you in and it keeps you there. And I guess that's your intention.
Yes, for me it was important that, of course, the story is a Cuban story. Of course, everything they say exists because it's in Cuba, but it's also speaking to anyone in the world, because it's more maybe a story of this relationship they have together, the very strong love between them, and about all the disillusion that we can share that.
Yeah.
Padura speaks of this generation as a lost generation because they really believed in the revolution. They really involved themselves in the revolution. And after a while, they lost this belief in what would happen. And I think I can recognize myself. I think everyone can have relation with these characters.
Absolutely. Just finally, I want to ask you about the actors in the movie, because they all have incredible faces, for a start. And the second thing is, of course, most of them are well-known. They're all well-known Cuban actors, apart from Aldo, the character that plays Aldo. He's largely unknown. What was it about Aldo in the sense that, I guess he's adding another dimension to the friendship in a way, because he, or other than being unknown, maybe perhaps he doesn't have the pre-existing relationship that the other actors had. So, and I think you feel that little bit of
distance.
He was
also very impressed by acting in front of those stars for him, you know. And I think it gives something very interesting to a character, because right, he's a little bit different from the others.
Yeah.
He speaks differently. He is a little bit shy sometimes in front of them. but he's really part of the group.
Yeah.
I hope nobody will have any doubt about that.
No, I mean, he actually says something very poignant in the film, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I just wanted to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what everyone wants to do. You just want to believe, because if you give up hope, then maybe you have nothing.
Yes, I think he's maybe the character that is the most close from me. Mm-hmm. He's this guy who knows that all his beliefs are maybe not that strong, but that right, he need that.
Yeah,
he can't. Right, he says in the film, "If I don't believe, I just have to hang myself."
No, well, on that real bombshell right there, I'd like to thank you for bringing us and sharing this wonderful movie with us. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've just been speaking to Laurent Quintet, the co-writer and director of Retour à Ithaca. Have I said that correctly, Laurent?
Regreso in Ithaca.
Ah, Ithaca.
In Spanish, Retour à Ithaca in French, Return to Ithaca in English.
I think you've done it all. I'd love to thank you so much for your time, because, of course, I know it's very precious. So thank you for joining us on Fred Film Radio.
Thank you very much.
I'm Imani Mohammed, and you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.